It's good to be here. Have the privilege of coming up here in the last 4 years, I think. Been knowing a lot of you for a long time, but I just got started making an attempt to get up here and thoroughly enjoyed it every time I've been up here. Been able to stay with Brother Marty some, Brother Randall some, and it's just been a pleasure. I wasn't planning on being here this afternoon, but as I was walking out the back door, Brother Gus Hart grabbed me by the arm. Said, "You plan on staying, ain't you?" I said, "Well, I wasn't. Well, plan on using you." I said, "Okay, I'll stay." And then he come over here and tell me what he's going to do, and you only got 15 minutes, and y'all have to tell Brother Hart, Brother Gus, no. If you have a scripture, you want to turn 1 Peter, 3rd verse of 1st chapter, 1 Peter. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, he have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What I want to speak to you a little bit about is that mercy. It's about that mercy. What got me thinking on this was the brother mentioned about sports. I was listening a couple of Saturdays ago, turned on TV, and this program on ESPN of 30-30, where they tell what happens to different ones. They'll do stories on sports athletes and stuff. And, I just thought I'd just watch it, just killing some time for a little bit. Didn't know I was going to get a sermon out of it. And I wasn't thinking about it. I went outside and went to watch my truck, and next thing I know, I'm preaching to myself about it. Anyway, there was a player, and I won't name any names, there was a player that had a scholarship to Florida State, full ride scholarship, that expected him to be a great football player. But he messed up. I don't know what happened. He got put on probation, lost his scholarship. No more scholarship there. But he was invited to come back and play. He couldn't have his scholarship, but he invited him back to play. Then he messed up again and failed a drug test. Then they say, "No, it's over with." And the town was so upset about it, what had happened and what he had done to dishonor the town, that the town was a small town. It was all in an uproar. But then after a little bit, the pastor, this was a black player, and I reckon it was a black pastor, that said, "Can't we show mercy? Are we supposed to just come down? Aren't we under the grace of mercy, under a covenant of mercy?" And they did. They showed up at his parole hearing, the whole town, and each one got up and told how they think he ought to be given a second chance. They did. He went to another smaller college, broke all the records, wound up going on and playing pro ball, become a real good pro ball player. And they was interviewing him, and he made this comment. He said, "Yes, I become successful, but I never forgot where I come from. Never forgot where I come from." I want to get a little bit more on that in just a second. There was another player at the same time. About the same thing happened to him. He didn't get a second chance. They said, "That's it, you messed up. No more second chance." They was interviewing him, and this interviewing was about 30 years after the fact. And he was sitting down to that interview, and they was asking him about what happened, and he started trying to talk about it, got so choked up and had to walk out. He was still that many years upset that much that he had messed up and didn't get a second chance. But the thought come to me about where we come from. Where we come from. That was in a court setting. And usually if you go to court, if you're on trial, are you going in there wanting justice? No, you want mercy. You want mercy. We have a sentence on us of death. We're under a death sentence. This body is going to die. It's going to die one day. Sometimes quicker with others, but sometime. It says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. We're all under that. Some of us are shown mercy that we're not spared from death till an old age. Some are not. Some die at a young age. But keep that in mind. I want to look at David. Now, let me back up a little bit. In the Old Testament, they was all under a death penalty for breaking the law. What was the penalty most of the time for breaking a lot of laws? Committing adultery, breaking the law. It was stoning. You're supposed to be stoned to death. When David transgressed the law or sinned against God and sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan come to him and told him a story about a ewe lamb and telling him about that, and it upset David. He said, get angry. He said, that man should die and pay fourfold for what he has done. Nathan pointed his finger and said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David sinned. I said, I've sinned a great sin against God. But Nathan said, God has spared thy life. Your life won't be required. Now, the sword didn't depart from his house. He suffered a lot because of it. Now, let's go to the New Testament. As it's been mentioned before, when they come to Jesus and brought the woman caught in adultery, they brought her. And like it's been mentioned, if they was really concerned about the woman and carrying out the law, then why didn't they bring the man? He was supposed to be, that was supposed to be a part of it. But they didn't. They was trying to tempt Jesus. And say, she's been caught in actual adultery. The law says she should be stoned to death. What think ye? He wrote in the sand. He was writing in the sand. And didn't pay any attention to start with. Then he done it again. Or they asked him again, and he rose up. Now, a lot of times, you'd like to know what he was writing in that sand. Well, John tells us probably the reason we don't know. He said, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain all the books that could have been written. No, that should have been written about what Jesus done in just that short ministry. But I'd love to have been there. When he said, those that without sin cast the first stone. Those of you without sin cast the first stone. One by one, you heard the stones dropping as they walked out. And Jesus asked her, said, what are our accusers? She said, there is none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, Jesus was bringing in that mercy seat. Was fixing to uncover that mercy seat. We've heard about that mercy seat. We heard about the priest going in and having to going in once a year. Well, what the brother didn't cover was what he was under. If he didn't go in there and do it right, he was under the penalty of death. That's the reason the bells were tied around his skirt to where they could hear the bells ringing. And as long as they was ringing, it was okay. But he also had a rope tied around his foot to when they didn't hear the bells ringing, they know he done messed up. They know he done messed up. Wouldn't it be awful to know that you had to come in this pulpit and not mess up? I did last Sunday. I was talking about Sarah. I had her 100 years old. Nobody said anything. And then after church was over, one of the brothers come by and speaking to him, tell him he enjoyed it, one of the last ones. Nobody said anything. He come by and said, oh, by the way, Sarah was only 90. I said, you're right, brother. You're right. But don't you know that they practiced what all they had to do in there? Don't you know they rehearsed, they practiced 100 times before they ever went in there? But see, that was the mercy seat. Things had to be done right according to that law until Jesus come died on that cross, and then what happened? That mercy seat was revealed. That mercy seat was revealed. That curtain that closed that up to keep it where you couldn't see in there was rent from top to bottom. That mercy seat revealed. That's what we live under now, is mercy. That's what the new law is. When the young man come to him saying, "Master, what is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus told him, said, "To love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The second one is likened unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the prophets in the law." Hang all the prophets in the law. In other words, you keep those two, you're going to do all the rest. That automatically fulfills all the rest of it. And that's what we know. That's mercy. And that's mercy. But we need to thank God where we come from. Thank God that we can know where we come from. One of the preachers said it earlier. Said you can't understand grace and mercy till you understand depravity. We need to understand and remember where we come from to know how we've been blessed to be where we at. To be blessed to be where we at. Not only that, we could have lived back in that law service where the priest had to go in there and do everything just right, and all this stuff had to be done right, and under the penalties of that law, we could have been born back in them. But no, we've been born under that grace covenant. We've been given that grace and that mercy that we don't, if we mess up, that we won't get stoned to death. We might suffer some consequences, but we're not under those same penalties, and that's a blessing. But where a big blessing is for us old Baptists is we have the blessing of not only being under the law of grace, but the truth about how we're saved. The truth about how we've been saved. And it's not of ourselves. It's not of that law. It's not of ourselves. It's by the grace and mercies of God that we've been saved. It's by His unmerited favor that we've been saved. And it's by His grace that we're able to understand that. That we've been shown that. That we've been shown that grace. Just like it's the brother talking about. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for blood, flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's a great blessing. There's many of people out there, I believe children of God, that don't even know who Jesus is. Hadn't been that privilege. All these other countries. Thank God, Brother Harder, and a lot of them went to the Philippines, that they were able to have the gospel preached. Because there's many out there that don't. And the reason I say that, because God has a people in every kindred, tongue, tribe, nation, and people. There is people out there that don't know, even know who Jesus is. Much less know and understand everything He's done. We need to thank God and remember where we come from. That we can understand His grace and His mercy. There's one other story that Jesus was telling, where the master had a servant that owed him some money. And he brought the servant to him. And that servant asked for mercy, begged for mercy. "I don't have anything to pay. I don't have anything to pay." That's where we are. We don't have a thing to pay. We don't have the first shilling to pay that debt that we've been put under by what Adam did. We don't have anything to pay. The servant didn't have anything to pay. But the master forgave him the whole debt. Just like Jesus has forgiven our debts and our sins. But sometimes do we do what that servant did? He went out and found somebody that owed him some money. He grabbed him around the neck and told him, said, "Pay me all that you owe. Pay me all that you owe." Then the master found out about it, brought him back, and said, "Send him to the tormentors till he pay what he owed." See, he really messed up. He was been given a great debt. I mean, he was forgiven a great debt. We need to thank God that we've been forgiven a great sin debt. Thank God that we're able to know who Christ is. Thank God we've been blessed with that mercy to know who Jesus Christ is.